Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Now, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're continuing our study of the wonderful miracle wrought on the daughter of Jairus. The Lord Jesus raised at least 3 people during his earthly ministry. I say at least because there could have been more that are not recorded in the Gospel. Not everything the Savior did was recorded in the Gospel. John tells us that. He actually said, if everything that the Savior said and did was written down, the world couldn't contain the books that would be filled by such a report. Every day the Savior wrought miracles of one form or another. And this young girl, whose name, as I've said before, we don't know, but she is one of those raised by the Lord. Now in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, we have read the verses 22 to 24, and then from 35 to 43. In between those two sections, there is another miracle wrought. Didn't I tell you the Savior was always busy? Jairus comes to the Savior pleading for his daughter, who at that moment, as far as he understood, was very, very ill. He had left her at home and she was very ill. And he had run to find the Savior and to ask for his help. But even as he was talking, there took place this other miracle of the woman, whose name we don't know, but who was sick and sick unto death. She was going to die from her sickness. But she had heard about the Lord Jesus. And she decided in her heart, if I can only get to him and only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And so she came up behind him, poor, frail, sick woman. And she would have found it difficult pressing through the crowd of men that surrounded the Savior. But she did finally get through and stooped down and touched the hem of his garment. Instantly, she was healed. Now, she did all that as secretively as she could. But the Savior knew as soon as she was healed that power had gone forth from him to bring about her healing. He knew this had happened. So he turned around and he said, who touched me? Poor wee woman, frightened and alarmed, came and fell at his feet and told her story. And the Lord said, that's all right. Your faith has healed you. Then he gave his attention back again to Jairus. You know, the Lord, a bit like the teacher in the classroom, can deal with one person and deal with another person and has this variety of duties to perform constantly. And so the Lord shows how he was able to deal with the issue of Jairus' daughter and also this poor woman. Oh, how wonderfully capable is the Savior. He's never too busy to hear us and to help us. He never has to say to anybody who comes to him, just hold on a minute. Sometimes the teacher says that to you, doesn't he? Because human beings can only handle a certain amount of business at a time. But the Lord can handle everybody's prayers across the whole world and give attention to everybody across the world who seeks him. Only God can do that. Well, we have introduced this new study last week, and we pointed out that it was the faith of Jairus, the father, that had brought this young girl life and blessing. It was her dad, not her. And it's important for us to learn that. And I said to you then that very often Christians owe their conversion, as it were, to the prayers of mum or dad. I'm sure it's the case with many of you here. If you're converted, it's the prayers of mum or dad that brought that about. Certainly was so in the case of the daughter of Jairus. In the report that is given us of Jairus, we read in the verse 22, if you look at it please, chapter 5 and the verse 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly." Now, there's words there that indicate just how earnest and sincere this man was concerning his daughter. It says that he came, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. That indicates great earnestness. He didn't just stand and ask for help, but he was begging. He fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That's a position that in the scripture indicates a great honoring of the Lord. I read you out some verses. In chapter 7 of Mark, we read this. "A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." Here is that same spirit of earnestness, strong desiring, pleading, begging for his blessing upon her child. And then there was another woman who came. She had been a sinful woman, but she had been converted. And when she had an opportunity, it says, "stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears." That shows great weeping. Not just a wee trickle down her cheek, but her eyes were pouring forth tears. "And she did wipe his feet with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment." What an earnestness is seen here in this woman. She's so glad to have an opportunity to honor the Lord because he saved her. He has pardoned her from great sin. And so we see her here, and she's right down at the feet of Christ. She couldn't wash his feet with her tears without getting right down. She couldn't wipe his feet with her hair without getting right down at his feet. Let me ask you, have you ever been at the feet of Christ? Have you ever honored him in that fashion? Have you owned him for who he is? God the Son, the only redeemer of sinners. And then there was a famous lady, Mary, who when her brother died and the Lord Jesus came to the house following his death, we read in John chapter 11, verse 33, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Oh, she knew the power of her Savior. He could have stopped death from taking place. But the Lord had allowed her brother to die because a greater miracle was about to take place. He raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead. And Mary learned that day how that though she looked upon the Lord as being very capable and able to have healed her brother before he died, but she learned that sometimes the Lord allows things to happen so that an even greater thing takes place, a greater miracle. She fell at his feet. Then there was another man, very notorious individual, possessed by many devils, a legion of devils, couldn't be tamed, couldn't be tied or chained. Day and night he was crying up in the mountains in misery. Oh, that's what the devil brings, misery. You learn that, boys and girls. The devil might paint a wonderfully bright picture of what he can give you and say, "This is wonderful. You'll never have such joy as that which I can give you." But in truth, all the devil can bestow and give is misery. That man was crying night and day in total misery and shame. Well, the Lord saved them, delivered them from the power of the devil. And the change in his life is seen in what we read in Luke chapter 8, verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus. That is, all the neighbors. They had heard about the change, so they went out to see what was done and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. What a change. Inwardly, outwardly, and in the posture that he was found in, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening, learning, taking it in. That's what our assembly is all about, boys and girls. We're meant to be here, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening, listening, letting nothing distract us, but listening to the Lord Jesus. Now it is said that he was one of the rulers of the synagogue, verse 22 of chapter 5. He was one of the rulers of the synagogue, and in the middle of the night, as I was lying thinking, I thought to myself, you know, the rulers of the synagogue, whenever we read about them, and those who attended the synagogue, whenever we read about them, they were usually against the Lord. They questioned him. They doubted him. They mocked him. What he said in the synagogue oftentimes caused men to leave the synagogue and plot and plan how they could kill him. But here is a man, even though he was a ruler of the synagogue, didn't have that opinion. He had a high opinion of the Lord Jesus. He said, he is the hope for my daughter. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to run and find him and seek his help. Yes, and it's a lesson for me that even in the company of those who have a bad reputation, as the rulers and leaders of the synagogues had, you can find a Jairus. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. Here's this man, out of step altogether with all the other leaders of the synagogue, as it were, that were found throughout the land. He believed the witness of the Lord Jesus. And here he comes earnestly seeking his blessing upon his little girl. He begs him. It says, verse 23, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter. Isn't that a tender little expression, title? He didn't say, my daughter. No. My little daughter. Oh, how gently and tenderly he looked upon his child. She lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. That's his hope. That was what he believed. You have only to come and lay your hands on her, and sickness will leave her. Now, as I say, while he was saying this and pleading with the Savior, he understood his daughter was still alive, but very sick. But you will notice that even when he was talking with the Lord, there came bad news. Because if you read further down in the verse 35, while he yet spake, even as he said this, come, lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be healed. Even as he said this, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, my daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? So a number of men had been sent. Find Jairus, tell him that his daughter has died. Now they didn't share the faith of Jairus. They considered, therefore, now that she's dead, that's the end of it. Nothing more can be done. But the Lord immediately spoke. I love this, you know. Verse 36, look at it carefully. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. So there on one side were those who had come with the sad news, that his daughter was dead, and they were saying to him, forget all about it, all hope's gone, just come home and arrange the funeral. But on the other side, the Savior was saying, be not afraid, only believe. Only believe. Boys and girls, it's an amazing thing that in the midst of all our troubles, it is not a silly thing to trust the Lord, that He will change everything round and bring us blessing. That's what He's saying to this man, Jairus. Oh, they say your daughter's dead, but don't you be afraid. Just believe. You came to me looking for help, and even though things seem to have gotten very much worse, indeed hopeless, don't be afraid. Because what is hopeless in the eyes of men isn't necessarily hopeless in the eyes of God. You see, the Lord can do that which men think is impossible. They were saying, Jairus, just come home, it's all over, nothing can be done. But that's not the case, boys and girls. What men think is hopeless and impossible for anything to be done, the Savior says, only believe. He said to his disciples on another occasion, Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let that be written on your heart and mind, boys and girls. All things are possible with God, no matter how impossible it may appear to man. All things are possible with God. Paul the Apostle on one occasion was preaching in the city of Athens. He had arrived and he saw the idolatry, all the idols and altars erected to pagan gods. And it vexed him that the people there should be in such darkness. So he started an open-air meeting. Started to preach. And those who heard him, they said, this is a strange message this man bringing. Let's bring him up to that well-known meeting place, Mars Hill, where there's always a crowd. Let's bring him up there and get him to preach there so that far more hear him. So on Mars Hill, Paul begins to preach. But he wasn't preaching too long until they started to laugh and mock. Well, here's what it says. Acts chapter 17, verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. We have other more important things to do than listen to this sort of nonsense. They laughed, and they mocked, as soon as he talked about the resurrection of the dead. Because as far as they were concerned, that's impossible. That's impossible. You know, boys and girls, even Christians sometimes doubt what God can do. I was just thinking this morning, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians on the very subject of the resurrection of the dead, he had to say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? See, the Corinthians had, before they were converted, been like the people in Athens, pagans, blind idolaters. And that blindness was creeping in again. And they were beginning to doubt, as the Athenians doubted, that there could be a resurrection of the dead. Now, even Christians can be tempted to doubt elements of the gospel. Don't you be among those. You believe God. Just as the Lord said to Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. Believe the book, boys and girls. No matter what others say, believe the book. Others may say, with kindness, it's all over, forget about it, no hope. don't you cease to believe the Lord for help. You see, boys and girls, the resurrection of the dead is the great hope of the gospel. The great hope of the gospel. I know that one day I will cease to be alive. I know that. But I also know and believe that one day I will be in heaven. No matter what may happen to this old body, the Lord is going to bring me out of the grave, along with all the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of others who believe. That's our hope. That's our confidence. And you know, when folk get old and frail, and they know they haven't much time left, the Savior comes to them and he says to them, just what he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Well, that's the hope of the gospel. We're told, boys and girls, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, these words, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the hope of the Christian. You older ones may be aware that there is a discussion at present, and it's coming up on Friday in Parliament, that those who are very seriously ill can choose to end their life. That will be legalised. At the moment it's not. It's illegal to commit suicide. But they're going to change the law, it would appear. At least they're going to try to. Do you know why people who are ill, unsaved people who are ill, want to hasten their death? Because they don't know what lies beyond death. If they only knew where the unsaved go to, they would want to extend their life as long as they could. But there's a blindness in the world today, and because of that, because of the ignorance there is upon man, there's no awareness of what lies beyond the grave, and they think it'll be all right. Oh, boys and girls, believe the Savior, even as he urges upon Jairus. Don't be afraid. That's the wonderful comfort of the gospel. The believer in the gospel doesn't have to be afraid. They have only to believe the Lord. David said in that wonderful Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And that one, is the Lord your shepherd today? That's the question, boys and girls. Is the Lord your shepherd today? He's not. If you haven't turned and called upon him and asked him to be your shepherd, oh, may God give you an understanding of your need of Christ. Let's bow in prayer. We pray, Lord, that you will be pleased to bless these few feeble words, the hearts. Oh, God, may they realize that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is all summed up in those words. Only believe. Lord, may they trust thee, believe in thee, rest in thee. Each one of them here today. Bless our school. We praise thee for your kindness to it in recent times. Continue your hand upon it, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.